Tax planning. I know it's not everyone's favorite topic, but as business owners, it's essential to be across it, especially if you don't want a massive, unexpected tax bill at tax return times. And nobody wants that. Today, I'm chatting with Eleanor Beach from Prism Accounting about ways you can prepare for tax time. Get your pen and paper handy. Let's jump in. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a bubbly, driven, chocolate-obsessed, positive thinker and action taker who helps business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure to step up and show up in the scary online world. Because I know that you have a message that needs to be heard, and I know you want to make a big impact in the world. By becoming more visible in the online space, you can attract and retain your ideal customers. I can help you do this by putting together effective and engaging marketing strategies and copywriting at right time marketing. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Eleanor Beach. Welcome, Eleanor.
Thank you, Leanne, for the introduction. Hi, everyone.
So good to see you. We met through, it was through the BX network, wasn't it? I know a lot of these chats usually are, but I knew after we connected, I had to have Eleanor on the show because she is a founder and principal of Prism Accounting, which is a boutique firm specializing in accounting and taxation services, but it's actually for health professionals. So you guys out there, I know you don't like tax stuff. No one really does unless you thrive and you work in it. But I thought this conversation that we'll be having today is just going to be so vital to helping with your tax planning and getting more money back than having to pay. So Eleanor is a chartered accountant and chartered tax advisor with more than 15 years experience in accounting and tax. So the perfect person to have on the show. So, Eleanor, before we go much further, I would love to hear more about you and your business journey. So what brought you to being in this business that you are today?
So my journey started a long time ago when I first, I finished school. And the choice was, you know, where to go, what to do next. And I didn't really think of anything else but to do an accounting. So here I am. After finishing my college degree and university degree, I decided to actually get involved a bit more in commerce first. And I started in commerce about, let me think, about 18 years ago now. So it's more than 15 years. Yes. Actually later on, I decided to move to tax because, I enjoyed this, part a bit more than just simply, commercial accounting. So, I'm the person who is really excited about tax. I'm a tax Love nerd, self-proclaimed tax nerd. Yes. So I love tax.
Yeah. And were you really good at numbers as a kid?
Yes, actually, yes.
Yeah. So that's why you kind of were drawn towards it. There was kind of a no-brainer for you when you're picking your career. You're like, I need to do something with numbers. That just makes sense
to
me.
Yes. Yeah. I think it was a default option. My mom actually wanted me to be a doctor, but I was afraid of blood, so I decided not to pursue a medical career.
I'm like, I would have loved to get into some like nursing career or like, but I cannot handle needles, blood. I get, I can't handle it. So yeah. And so obviously you've enjoyed it because you're stuck with it and then set up your own business.
Yes, I started my own business. I actually started my firm 2.5 years ago, and it was At the time when I was working in another firm. So I was part of another accounting firm, which actually also specialized in doctors and medical professionals. So this is how I actually used my experience to start my own kind of thing. And actually, when I started, I wasn't specializing in this area. It came to me later on. So I guess I was doing the same mistake as business owners do when they first start. I was trying to target everyone and trying to, you know, market my services to everyone. But I quickly learned that it's not the best way, and it would be best to specialize and actually, you know, utilize my expertise in the best possible way, because why should I, you know, why should I be a generalist when I can be a specialist?
Yeah, and then people know to come to you for, so you specialize in the tax stuff. Is that what you mean you specialize in? Or you're, I mean, also the health side as well.
Bit of so I specialize in health industry specifically.
Yeah. And what drew you towards health professionals?
I guess it was because I wasn't involved in another professional firm in the same space. Yes.
So you had a lot of experience with dealing with similar customers.
Yes.
And you're like, well, it just makes sense. Obviously I've done the same thing with my copywriting and marketing for health and wellness business owners, because there's many reasons why, but ultimately I realized niching down, people then know, she knows exactly how to deal with us.
Yes.
And she knows our language, and it's just, and so I have a vision now. I want to really build this marketing agency that's purely focused on health and wellness business owners. I don't think many are doing that. I think most like marketing agencies deal with multiple different types of industries, but I want to be able to say that, yes, I specialize in this area. Come to me and you'll get the best results, because that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah. And when you specialize in a particular area, you understand what regulation apply to this area. For example, with medical professionals, you tell me about this because you know it better than me, but they can't really say particular thing when they market to people. So they can't really like use testimonials and that sort of stuff. And some, you know, generalistic marketing professionals, they may not be aware of these limitations. So it's good to specialize. And the same comes to accounting as well, because there are certain regulation applying to health professionals, applying to medical, dental, and other people working in providing personal services. So sometimes accountants are just not aware of the regulations and
And they can give you the wrong advice.
And you may end up in hot water.
Yeah. No, what's that? And then, then suddenly you have to pay all the stuff out of pocket, which really you should have had or budgeted, but you had no idea about. So we're all about tax planning made easy. So I know it's a complicated topic for those who are not in the industry. So want to really, let's go down to basics. So what does tax planning involve, and when should we start planning, like doing it?
Okay, tax planning, it's more of a, it's a process, and we take holistic approach to tax planning. So when the person comes to for tax planning session, we basically ask a lot of questions about their current situation. So we have to know their current sources of income, how much they earn, but it's not just that. We have to assess their family situation as well, whether they are married, whether they have kids, whether they are planning to have some more kids. And we also look at their current assets, current investments, and loans to purchase these assets or any business loans. And we have to be aware of what's deductible, what's not deductible, because it gives us the whole picture, what we need to look at. And we once we know the situation, we identify our tax planning opportunities, whether it involves loan restructuring or acquiring other investment properties, or maybe getting rid of some investments, or maybe restructuring business. But it all depends on particular circumstances. But we have to take all the factors into account, and we also look at where they want to be in the near future. So if they want to, like, for example, start their own business, or if they want to bring partners to the existing business, we have to take this into account as well, because sometimes if this restructuring situations, they result in certain tax consequences, for example, capital gains taxes and other consequences that might arise. So we have to look at the way to actually deal with these consequences and be prepared for these consequences before they actually happen, and to execute it in the most tax effective way.
Yeah. And so how far in advance do you have to be thinking about it? Is this thinking a year ahead? Is that okay for planning, or do you have to think like 3, 5 years, 10 years ahead?
It really depends on the particular issue. But I guess if it's just year-to-year planning, you have to start planning before the year starts. So if it's like a vanilla scenario, just yourself and your business, and you just want to minimize some taxes and hopefully make some decisions about your business, I think it's best to start a few months before the start of the year.
Yeah, which is pretty much now, everybody. So yes. That's how we timed it this way. Yeah, start getting onto it. And so what are your tips for effective tax return preparations?
I think the most important tip is to keep adequate records. So you have to have some sort of software or some sort of spreadsheet where you keep all your income and expenses. And the way you do it really depends on your business. But if you don't use a particular software, I guess it's best to speak to your accountant what the best way to keep it, because we all have different approach to this, and we have different forms and different proformas to keep all records of expenses, and it's best to ask your accountant. Don't just assume that you're gonna bring the shoebox full of receipts and yeah, they're gonna process it. So but I guess the best way, if your expenses are just insignificant, it's just like, for example, membership fees and some transaction fees, I guess it's sufficient to have some Excel spreadsheet. But otherwise, if you're issuing invoices to your clients or to your patients, it's probably best to have some kind of accounting software. And I guess now cloud softwares are really popular, and we really like to see people using this kind of software, because if you're on the cloud, it allows your accountant to actually access your record and do some changes in it, and also
I started with an Excel spreadsheet, which is fine when you're just starting out, and if you don't have a lot of transactions incomings, outgoings, whatever, but I've been using, I use QuickBooks myself, mm-hmm. also aware of Xero, and I didn't have to worry about formulas accidentally going out the window.
Yeah.
Like, having something wrong. It just calculates it properly. I set all my invoices out from it. It tracks it. I can see the cash flow. So I wouldn't go back to Excel now, because and then I can also share access with my bookkeeper and tax accountant, and then they can just easily jump on in, question things, but I don't have to go and find the information. It's all there. And I highly recommend getting into the softwares. There's like some really low cost packages that you can get. So
yes, absolutely. And it's especially important when you have staff and when you have to pay wages, because now you have to do it through STP-enabled software. You can't just, fax your PE wage statements to the ATO at the end of the year. You have to do it through electronic means, which is single-touch payroll. And it is important to have some sort of software to actually process your single-touch payroll. And if you have to do it anyway, why not have some cloud software like Xero or MYOB? I guess it makes it for your accountant really easy to access it and make some changes, and it gives you advantage of having live information at your fingertips, so you can assess your business performance by going into it, you can even share it with your accountant straight away, and you can look at the same file, same information straight away.
Yes, there's a lot of benefits of doing it. Like I said, I wouldn't go back now. It's just even with the templates for invoicing, it looks very professional. Before I just did little Word documents made up pretty and I just sent it out, but this also tracks if it's been viewed as well. And now I want to ask, with the receipts, do you recommend just uploading it straight to like your accounting software or using like another type of app and then sharing it with the accountant later? Like, what do you kind of recommend?
Yeah, I would recommend uploading it straight away if you can. Yeah, but otherwise, just keep your receipt somewhere that you can access it later. But no, don't just put your, the paper copy of your receipt somewhere. Keep an electronic copy. It's really important because, I can't
they
speak
fade,
for...
Right?
Yeah, they fade, exactly. And yeah. I can't speak for all accountants, but we are trying to be paperless. And I think there is a tendency to be paperless and to rely on electronic records more and more in the industry. So it's really good to convert to electronic copies, so don't keep your paper receipts anymore.
You can throw them out, because I was gonna say otherwise you're holding on to them for years and years going, I'm scared to throw these out, but if you scan them all again. Yeah, very cool. And so okay, so looking at the health and wellness industry, how are some ways listeners can minimize the amount of tax they need to pay so that they can see more of a cash flow, money returned to them rather than money returned to the government?
So yeah, it really depends on the individual situation of everyone, but I'm happy to share some common tips that I give to my clients. First of all, you need to ensure you are not overpaying the amount of tax. This is the most crucial thing. And one of the most important thing is to make sure you have adequate private health insurance, because what happens sometimes that when people start earning over a particular threshold, they are then being subjected to this Medicare levy surcharge on top of their normal Medicare levy because they didn't have adequate private health cover. And it happens for single people or when they start earning more than $90,000 a year. And for couple, it's $180,000. Plus, there are some extra amounts allowed for kids if you have kids, but it's basically $180,000. So you have to really think about whether you are likely to earn more than that amount in the next year. And if you are, it's best to organize private health insurance as soon as possible from 1st of July. So, because it works on pro rata basis. So if you're not covered for particular days, you will have to pay Medicare levy surcharge for these days that you are not covered during that period. That's really important.
Yeah, when you say earn as well, is that what the business earns or what you pay yourself?
So it's basically depends on structure of your business. So if you are a sole trader, your sole trading income is part of your personal income, so it's not separate. But otherwise, if you are trading through a company, you would be likely to pay yourself some sort of dividends or wages. So it's basically the amount of income you declare in your personal tax. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Like, I wouldn't have even thought about the private health insurance thing when you're thinking about, because that's like myself personal. That's nothing to do with the business, right? It's not the professional indemnity insurance or whatever. That's, yeah. So that's, yeah, it's very
Professional indemnity is a different story. And yeah, it's a business expense, but private health insurance, it's unfortunately not deductible for tax purposes. So whatever premiums you are paying, it's not deductible. Mm-hmm. But it helps you pay less tax because you will be exempt from Medicare levy surcharge if you are covered for the whole period.
Okay. Yeah.
So the next tip would be to keep track of your super. It's important, especially for people who are high income earners, like doctors, and who are working with different hospital, with different employers, for example. And they have, these employers, they are required to pay 9.5% super on top of their normal earnings. So sometimes it happens that they, as a result, they exceed their threshold of $25,000 per year. And as a result, there is an excess super contribution. So if that happens, now they have an option to opt out of receiving super from particular employers. And I actually have it covered somewhere on my blog. So if you had to read my blog on my website, I can provide some details. Yes. Yeah. Other than that, yes. So if you are business owner and no one pays super on your behalf, it's still important to be actually aware of how much super you can you can contribute in a particular year for yourself, because your personal super contributions are tax deductible to you. So it's important to know the thresholds and know if it's really beneficial to contribute during this year or wait until your income increases and contribute in the next year, for example, if you expect dramatic increase.
Is there like a percentage or something? Like what I was doing like last year, for example, was every fortnight I have a bit of the profit first system happening, and I put a certain percentage, I think it was just like 5% or something of whatever I earned that fortnight into super. Mm. Is that a good kind of approach, or do you recommend just like a lump sum at the end of financial year?
I would recommend, actually looking at your super at the end of the financial year and making a lump sum contribution. Okay. Because they don't pay you anything, just having, because your super might earn some income in the super fund, but sometimes it's really premature to know how much you can contribute. If you, for example, let's say if you are employed and you have multiple sources of income and you never know what's going to happen until the end of financial year. So maybe your employer will contribute some extra and it will leave you with less to contribute to as your personal super. Yes. So now you may be aware that the government changed the law in terms of super contributions, and now you can carry forward your super contributions. So if you didn't contribute in the last financial year, the limit gets carried forward to the next financial year. So it's $25,000 per year, and if you failed to contribute to your super last year, you can do a catch-up contribution this year. And sometimes it's even more beneficial if your income keeps growing, because you might be in the lower tax threshold last financial year, but you might be in a higher tax bracket in the following year. So it's maybe more beneficial to actually wait until the next year to contribute to super when your income is higher.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. Good to know. Cause I was just like, oh, just put, cause there was a year where I didn't do, I was full time in my business and I'm like, oh, I didn't put any money into my super whatsoever. I did it for a year and I'm like, this doesn't feel right. Cause I heard that you don't have to technically pay yourself super when you're self-employed, but yeah. I'm like, but then what am I going to retire at? So I started doing that. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't get that.
Yeah, they only changed it like a couple of years ago. Before that, you couldn't really carry forward your unused super contribution. So now it's good that you have that option, but it wasn't always the case.
Yeah, so that year that I missed, I could just catch up. But so basically then you can maybe put money aside and then just go, all right, this is purely for my super, and then do that lump sum in financial year.
Yeah, until you know certain, until you're certain how much you can contribute. Because, with carry forward super contribution, there are certain limitations. You have to look at your super balance, because if your super balance exceeds certain amount, you cannot take advantage of this carry forward rule. I don't want to get too technical about it, but there are certain, certain things you have to be aware of.
Yes, no, fair enough. And that would obviously vary from situation to situation.
Yes. You also have to be aware that once your income hits 250 plus, your super contributions are subject to extra 15%. So it's not to punish you for earning too much, but it's just to minimize the benefits you are getting from contributing into super, because when you contribute into super, your contribution is subject to 15% tax within the super environment, but you would otherwise be paying your marginal tax rate on that amount. So the government decided to actually minimize this gap to make it a bit like more fair, I guess, in their view.
I'm with you. Did you have any other tips as well for tax return, getting money back rather than having to pay?
So, I'm having some tips in terms of keeping your records. So if you, for example, it really depends on the situation again, but if you, for example, travel a lot to see your patients or to see your clients or in between your jobs, it's probably best to keep records of your car expenses. It's best to keep logbook for your car. So you keep this logbook for 12 weeks at least, and you can actually start claiming deductions for your car expenses based on logbook methods in the same year you started doing your logbook. So if you intend to claim using this method in 2021 financial year, it's good idea to start using logbook before 30th of June. So it has to start in this financial year.
It's done now. Now, 3 months to go. So go out and get your logbooks, everyone.
Yep, yeah. And the benefit of using logbook is that you can not only claim percentage of your car use for business, for things like petrol on oil and car maintenance, but you can also claim some depreciation on the car as well.
And is that also if you have, it's your personal vehicle? Is this, you just got to say a percentage is for work use or something like that?
So the logbook is actually used to work out work-related percentage of use of your car for your business purposes, for your work purposes. And let's say the logbook says, okay, you can claim 30% of your car expenses. So you would be eligible to claim 30% on all the expenses you incur for your car during this year, as well as depreciation for this car. Yeah. So 30% of depreciation. It's subject to certain car limits, but it's a good idea if you have substantial travel between workplaces. It's a good idea to have. Other than that, I guess you can make certain elections which are eligible, which small business owners are eligible to make. For example, if you have trading stock, there are certain ways to actually manipulate your deductions a bit. So you have a choice of valuing your stock at the end of the financial year based on three methods. So it can be costs, can be market value, and can be replacement value. So obviously, in most cases, costs method will give you the biggest deduction, because what you have to do at the end of financial, you have to add back the value of your stock at the end of financial year to your income. So if it gives you lower amount, it gives you higher deductions. So you can manipulate it a bit. So let's say you want to increase your earnings during this financial year to reduce your earnings in the next financial year. Let's say that. Let's say, for example, you suffered some losses as a result of your trading, then you want to increase your earnings. So you would value your stock based on market value, for example, if it gives you higher value. But otherwise, you can probably use costs. And for small business owners, there is a concession. So if your movement in stock values is less than $5,000, you don't have to do stock count. Other than that, if you want to maximize your deductions in this financial year, you will try to make prepayments of your expenses, because as a small business owner, you can deduct certain prepayments immediately. And also, you can utilize instant asset write-off, which is another big deal when it comes to business deduction. If you purchase equipment and you want to write it off immediately, you can. There are certain regulations affecting this eligibility, but for most business owners, it's actually beneficial to write it off immediately. But sometimes
how do you do that? Is there a website or a form or something to fill out?
The way you prepare your tax return actually is indicative of whether you utilize this concession or not. So, but if you do that, you will have to do it for all of your equipment purchases. So you can't just pick and choose which which equipment you want to write off and which you don't. So in this year, there are certain changes in tax legislation that allow people who are not small businesses to actually write off certain purchases of assets. But no, it's really technical. And sometimes when you are in doubt whether it's would be of benefit to your business, to your tax deduction, to claim tax deduction or not, because if you are in loss position, sometimes it's best not to claim your assets immediately. So it's best to speak to your accountant, and your accountant will give you indication of how to proceed with these elections. So it's, I guess the whole idea is, if it's something really significant, it's best to speak to an accountant. Yeah. And obviously, you would want to speak to your accountant if you plan on purchasing any investments, or if you want to, make some changes to the way you operate your business, or if you want to restructure your business. So that's, it's really important to seek some professional advice before you actually proceed with this.
And it's really important you say that, because, the accountant isn't just someone you speak to once a year. Like, they should actually be part of the whole process in your business and be touch base regularly with them.
Yeah, and exactly. It's an ongoing process. It's not just one off, because there are accountants, who just do tax compliance, and they prepare your tax at the end of the year, and don't worry about you until the next year, until it's time to prepare your next year's tax return. But it's really good to have a proactive accountant who actually gives you advice beforehand, before something happens, before you are ready to make decision, because sometimes they will give you some guidance enable you to use this knowledge to actually make some decision. So it's really important to have an accountant who can educate you about the implications of certain decisions.
Because some decisions may work very well for someone else in their business, but the same decision for you, you could end up with a massive tax payment for you. Or other issues that you don't want to face, really.
Yes, it's really really important to speak to your accountant so they can assess your situation. So it's only relevant to you. It might not be relevant to someone else, but it's relevant to you, because we see this all the time when people speak to each other and they get some ideas from other people and think that these ideas would apply to them as well. And when they start doing their own things, and sometimes the results are not really good at all. And because they are not really aware of all little intricacies involved. So tax law is really complex, and sometimes we see these provisions intertwined and applying to the same situation. And sometimes it's even confusing for tax professionals. Sometimes the situations could be really intimidating, because they don't really know whether these provisions apply or another provision applies. So it's really important not to get into this mess before you speak to your accountant.
Yes, actually, and my next question was about the biggest mistakes you've seen when it comes to tax planning. Is it a lot of that situation where people have gone in without consulting you?
Yes.
Can it?
Yeah, and particularly, I guess, we see a lot of people come to us who are made really bad structuring decisions. So when they try to do their DIY structuring, sometimes the results are not very good, because we see a lot of doctors, for example. I'll give you an example, who decided to set up a company to do some private work. And mind you, this is not someone who operates a clinic or a medical center. It's some individuals, individual doctors who are contracting with some medical centers or stuff like that. And once they have an AVN, they decide it's best to, set up a company to operate through company structure. And then they contact us to ask what's next. And we say, okay, you set up a company, and what was the reason you set up a company in the first place? And they say, it's because someone told me I can save tax. And it's really a common misconception that you can set up a company as a doctor, as a medical professional, and can save tax on it. I think the reason is because they read about tax rates applying for companies, and they think, okay, 30%, it's less than what I pay if I structure it as a sole trader. So it's not my marginal tax rate, it's 30%, and now it's even less, it's 27.5%. So if you are a base rate entity, it's 27.5%. So they think, okay, this is all I have to pay to the tax office. And they don't know the whole story. So, you pay 27.5% in a company, but what happens when you try to extract this profit to yourself? So if you extract it as a dividend, you end up paying the same marginal tax rate on these dollars, yes, you will get a credit for 27.5%, but you end up for being assessed on the same amount as if you would be if you were structured as a sole trader. And apart from that, I guess they don't realize that there are certain regulations and tax law applying to medical professionals specifically that actually prevent you from gaining any tax benefit from structuring your affairs any differently. So if you structure it as a company, you'll still have to pay your profits to yourself as a wage, and they don't really realize this is the case. Yeah, and you can't really manipulate timing of your profit as well. So you can't really have these profits sitting in the company until you decide to pay it out. You have to pay it in the same year. And I guess a lot of medical professionals do not realize this is the case. But it doesn't apply to everyone. It doesn't apply to all medical professionals or all people, in the health industry. It really depends on specialty. But we see a lot of stuff like that because people don't really understand the whole, the regulations and the environment and anti-avoidance provisions that apply to this particular scenario.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's so true. And it's scary when you think about it. I just jump in going, oh, yep, this all sounds great because I've heard you say you're in tax, but then there's so don't make any big, massive life decisions or decisions in your business without getting that advice is basically what we're saying here. And so is there like one tip that you can give listeners right now that they can put into place when it comes to the tax planning right now?
I guess my tip would be aware of your situation, of your current situation. So monitor your business. Know how much tax you are likely to pay and speak to your accountant about what you can do to actually minimize your tax in this financial year and in the next financial year, especially if you plan to do some major decisions about your business and investments.
Yes, or you move to a different salon or clinic or something, you're expanding extra staff or something. Yeah, definitely good advice.
And definitely get an advice if you want to do some business structuring, because it's really, really complicated area actually, and it's really important to have your structure right from the very start. It's best to not to overstructure it from the beginning, so you can obviously make your tax structure more complex as you progress, but it's easier to go up than go down, because when you overstructure it you will end up having to getting rid of particular entities, and sometimes it will result in certain CGT payable, capital gain taxes, and also other tax consequences. So it's best to not overcomplicate it, simple is the best. And if you are not sure if your structure is correct, definitely speak to your accountant.
Awesome. Oh, thank you. There's some great gems of advice in there, everybody. I hope, and if anything, any part of it confused you at all, just go back and listen to it again. Or obviously you can reach out to Eleanor. But yes, Eleanor, I always ask my guests this, and that is, how do you take care of your health and wellness?
I guess it's really important to, to avoid burnout. A lot of people are suffering from burnout, especially now when we sometimes are working from home and we don't really have a distinction between your office hours and your home hours. So it sort of all blends in. And it's really important to differentiate it, to draw a line. I'm probably a bit hypocritical about it, because I'm guilty of it myself, and I'm trying to do my best to actually get it to get better at this. But it's still work in progress.
Yeah, I don't worry. Yeah. I'm the same. yeah, there's times where I'm like, I'm edging towards burnout again. How come? I know what I've been to do. Yeah.
It's a really difficult year. I guess it's difficult for everyone. And yeah, as an accountant, I experienced some really, really busy days with all the changes in terms of JobKeeper, all these cash flow boosts situations and all the changes. Sometimes, you know, you speak with a client for an hour on the phone and you don't even know whether the situation will get better and whether they will be, whether they will be able to pay your bill or not. So you're just, there were some really, difficult days, but yeah, I think it's getting better now, and I think we are learning to adjust to new reality. And I guess it's really important to look after yourself in terms of give yourself a variety and just don't spend all your time on your work. And it's really important to have some hobbies, to exercise, to eat well. And for me, I really I try to exercise. For me, it's to do with more heavy weightlifting. But I guess it's really personal. And sometimes, you know, people like doing yoga. Sometimes people like to meditate. But whatever works for you, just do what you enjoy and what makes you feel better. And yeah, try to eat nutritious food. Try to spend time with your family, because I guess it's the most important thing, that we spend time with people who are matter the most.
Yeah, oh, so true. This is so important. Yeah, don't put your work first ahead of family. That's talking about in your deathbed. I wish I worked harder, so no one ever. That's really lovely. And how can people connect with you if they do want any tax advice or anything like that?
So they can go on my website to book an appointment, or they can call me. It's 1-300-077-555.
Awesome. Thank you, Eleanor. It's been such a great chat. It's really such an important topic, and this is going live at the right time. You've got enough time before end of financial year if you are listening to it as we go, as it goes live. And it's just so important it's such a big part of your business that a lot of people don't like. I personally don't like it either, but it's all part of the journey. So, yes, thank you so much, Eleanor. I appreciate the chat today. And thanks to you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoy listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. And if you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show, or you can book in a free 15-minute chat. I'd absolutely love to chat with you about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.